Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Morning, church. It's good to see all of you once again. You know, on Thursday and Friday night, I was just throwing up and food poisoning and all that. But I actually couldn't wait to come to church to talk to you all because, you know, this is such an important topic. Now, this morning was amazing. I think the worship was wonderful, wasn't it? Because God's presence was here. You know, and I feel that when God is here, He speaks to us. I am reminded of Luke chapter 7 because we are on this series on Fire Up. Fire Up is a series on our attitude. It's not primarily about knowledge, although there's always knowledge involved, but it's really more than just increasing our knowledge, but changing our attitude. I think in Luke 7, Jesus was talking to the Jews and He says this, you know, we play the flute, no? But you didn't dance. We sing the dirge. The dirge is like mourning song, but you didn't mourn, you didn't cry, right? Because the Jews were people who had become cynical in their attitude. They've seen it all, you know. So they just fold their hands and we'll see lah. So when Jesus said, you know, we have the flute, you don't dance, nothing gets the people going. You know, this is a series we hope will get our hearts going, which requires your participation. You gotta come to a place where you want to adjust your spiritual posture, not necessarily for yourself, but for the sake of the church and for what God wants to do. Amen? So I'm asking for all of you to participate with your heart, not just with your mind, okay? Yes, the mind is very important. I'm a very mind sort of guy, but, you know, with our heart, okay? So today, we want to continue with the series. Last week, we talked about responsibility, and responsibility is the innate attitude that causes us to take ownership of challenges around us, not just of our own things, but also those challenges around us. So this is what we had. Now, you know, some of you may have watched Sesame Street. You know, there's always the alphabet, right? And today's alphabet is E. Okay, today's alphabet is E for excitement, for enthusiastic, alright? So I hope you are enthusiastic. Turn to your neighbor and say, be enthusiastic. Man, this service needs help, boy. Be enthusiastic, okay? Come on. You can do better there, alright? For energetic. And we need to do that. You know, Pastor, why do we have to do this kind of very awkward things? Because you know why? Sometimes you got to get your body to inform your heart. Right? Because sometimes our heart, you need to do the things that get your body to be in, get your hearts to be informed, okay? So E for excellence and elevate. And the Bible character that really stands out for me when we talk about excellence is the Bible character Daniel. This young man at a very young age was deported from his home to a faraway land. Things were far from conducive for him in Babylon. He had every conceivable excuse, right? Every reason to compromise, to give up, to give in, to quit. But you know, that wasn't what he did, was it? Even with the odds stacked against him and his friends, Daniel somehow managed to distinguish himself and rise above the pack to make history. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and so on and so forth. And then it says, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, everyone say excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel. So the first thing we are told about Daniel is that something was special about him because he had this thing called an excellent spirit. And this excellent spirit caused him to enter into God's destiny. Alright? Because in Daniel chapter 6 verse 3, the next thing we read is that then this Daniel distinguished himself above. So he was higher, alright? Above all the governors, the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So you see, when Daniel began, he was highly disadvantaged. He was far away from home. He was young, right? He was a foreigner. Actually, he was a captive. But somehow, because he had an excellent spirit, he was able to rise through all these things, and somehow God put him in a position where he was over the whole realm. This excellent spirit was a posture of his heart. It was an attitude. Right? It was an attitude that caused him to be able to glorify God no matter what his situation was. He was in fact put in a position where he could influence the affairs of the whole nation and to glorify God in the highest echelons. Right? This thing called excellence. Now the Hebrew word for excellent spirit, and the spirit we know, but the excellence here is a word called yatira. Okay? Yatira. And the word yatira means to exceed. Everyone say exceed. Okay? To go beyond. Right? The NASB calls it extraordinary. Translates it as an extraordinary spirit or extraordinary attitude, right? So someone who has excellence is the person who exceeds. That means that when everyone comes this far, you go a little bit further, right? When everybody gives this much, you give a little bit more. When everyone's standard is right here, and you say, well, everyone is doing this. All right, you are the guy who goes a little bit further. You are the woman who goes a little bit further. You are the one who exceeds with a higher standard. When everyone's attitude is like that only, yours is the attitude that goes a little bit further. All right? I don't know if you ever had in class, there's always the one student who every question the teacher asks, he always hands up one. Have you ever seen this kind of people? Do you have this kind of people in your class? The overachievers, they won't exceed lah. Alright? But maybe sometimes for the wrong reasons, right? But for the right reasons, you stand out from the crowd, not necessarily because you have all the right answers, but your desire, your attitude is, you want to be there, okay? This Hebrew word, yatira, is to exceed. To be excellent is to exceed your circumstances. And ultimately, to exceed yourself. Daniel possessed the spirit, okay? He wasn't someone who accepted fate as it came to him. Say, what to do, this is life, right? No, was he someone who made excuses or complained that it was too hard? This guy, Daniel, was intent on giving the best he could, regardless of the circumstances that God put him in. Now, this is what I would like to define as excellence, right? I put it here on a slide. I'll read it once and then we'll read it together. It says, excellence is the quality of rising above our circumstances to be the best that we can be. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Excellence is the quality of rising above our circumstances to be the best that we can be. We all have circumstances in our life, right? We don't often get to choose the cards that life deals you. And sometimes you might get what seems to you to be a bad hand, alright? Some of you will have situations in your life right now, this very second. You will have situations that are challenging, situations that are difficult, maybe even situations that are bad or critical. What excellence is that this attitude of no matter what the circumstances are, we will continue to strive for our best. You see, excellence is not about your circumstances. Excellence is about you. How do you respond in whatever circumstances? So you refuse to become cynical. No matter what the people around you have done, no matter what happens. You see, so many Christians are influenced by their circumstances. You know, when people backslide, usually they backslide, they'll say something like this. Pastor, you know why I backslide? Because somebody hurt me. Right? Because the church something. Because, well, maybe the government something. Because of the haze. Right? It's always because of something, right? So in other words, most Christians are affected negatively by their circumstances. Excellence is to rise above that. Says, you know what, no matter what happens, I am right here. I'm not wavering, okay? I'm standing fast, turning neither to the left nor to the right. I'm going straight, regardless of what happens, regardless of what the people around me do, regardless of what happens to me. Just like Daniel, regardless of the situations he was put in, he rose up. And by the way, this is a characteristic that is repeated over and over again in the Bible, right? Whether it's Joseph, whether he's thrown into prison, whether he's become a slave, somehow these people rise up. David, his dad, forgot him, right? In spite of his circumstances, not because of his circumstances. Do not be content with just being okay, right? Do not be content with just offering up less than we can. Excellent people overcome their circumstances. Mediocre people are overcome by their circumstances. I think about Mary, okay? Mary, the alabaster jar of perfume, right? You know this story very well, do you? Y'all know very well. How you reverse the time a little bit, okay, to a time that the Bible doesn't talk about. That morning, okay, let's say it's a morning. Before she went out to see Jesus, I want you to think for a while, what was going through Mary's mind? She's probably thinking, what can I give to the Lord? What can I give to the Lord that will show God how much I love Him, right? Show Jesus how much I love Him. What can I give Him that will show Him how much I'm thankful, how grateful I am for Him, right? So she's thinking about her life. Now, you got to think for a while. Women those days don't have a lot of money, right? I mean, this is like a long, long time ago, right? So women don't have a good status. And Mary certainly wasn't someone who was very rich. So she probably looked around her life and said, what is the best thing I can give in spite of my not so perfect circumstances? And she found one thing. That was her alabaster jar of perfume. Something that she had been saving probably for the day that she gets married, right? That on the day that she gets married, usually they pour the perfume over themselves for her husband. But, that was the best thing that she had. You know what she gave? She gave her best. You think about the widow with two mites. She had only two mites, okay? 2 cents, if you like. If she get 1 cent, that's 50% already of everything that she had. I don't think anyone would blame her, right? Correct? She could give 1%, everyone, wow, she gives some. But you know what she chose to give? She chose to give her best in spite of her circumstances. Listen, to be excellent doesn't require good circumstances in your life. As a matter of fact, it is easier to be excellent when things are not so good, right? So, excellence is not about your circumstances, right? It's about giving your best regardless. It's rising above your circumstances. I want to give you two reasons why you must excel in life. First reason is because God deserves your very best, alright? You know what? God, when He gave you His very best. Do you realize that? He gave you His only begotten Son whom He loved. He did not give you some lowly angel or a bull or maybe a planet. He did not give you a universe. He gave you His only Son of all the things in creation that He could have given you. He chose to give you His very best. Has it ever occurred to you this? I mean, He is God, right? He can create anything. And yet He chose to give you the one most precious thing of all. Now listen, if God gives you His very best, then what do you reckon we should give God? I think if God gave us His very best, you know, is there any reason why we should not give God our very best? You understand? See, excellence is like this, you see, it's very compelling. It is, you know, there's no way that we would give God anything less than our very best. As a matter of fact, God was quite upset with the people in Malachi. So in Malachi, there was this whole bunch of people who had become really kind of cynical, right? They're not much better than previous generation. And then God challenges these people. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, He talks to these people because these people, they were giving to God. Huh? Don't get me wrong. It's not that they were not giving to God. It's just that they were not giving God their very best. They were just giving God whatever it is. You know, when I was a pastor in one of my first church, it's very interesting. Every time, and now and then, people will give something to the church. Pastor, I'm clearing up my house. You want this sofa chair or not? So give to the church. And then another one will say, hey, pastor, you know, we want to throw away this table. Do you want or not? We give to church, you know. After a while, the church looks like a backyard, you know. All the people's, all looks like Salvation Army. All the things that people don't want, they give to church. Listen, this is what the people were doing, right? I mean, I know you mean it well, right? But you got to understand God a little bit. God is not interested in your leftovers, right? This is not me. The church is interested because we are very poor, right? But God is not interested in your leftovers. God only wants your very best. So this is what He says to the people. He says, as a son honors his father and a servant his master, then if I'm a father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, you priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You have presented defiled food on my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that place you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Will he be pleased with you? Will he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. You know, we don't say this enough, but God really deserves our best. And sometimes we give Him our less than best. Do you follow? So, excellence. I mean, this is, by the way, it's not just true of God. It's true of everything in your life. Imagine if Lee Hsien Loong came here today. I'm sure you'll be here 15 minutes early. Don't say, Pastor, why you always talk about punctuality? Because you're always late, right? So, but Pastor, you know, we have a car park problem. You know how I solve my car park problem, right? I take bus. I wake up earlier, right? So I solve this problem. Now, God's attitude to these people is not that they were not giving. They were giving. But they were not giving their very best. And sometimes we forget that your God is not a beggar. He's not begging you to worship Him. He's not pleading with you, please worship me, I'm so lonely in heaven, right? But God deserves our very best. So when you sing, sing with all your heart. You understand? You know when, I'll talk about that later, okay? So, when you give your very best, you know, of your time, of your resources, of your skills, of your thoughts, your effort. Now you're the older generation here, right? But the younger people, they spend so much of their thoughts chasing Pokemon, you know, deciding where to go this place, where to go that place, you know, where is the Snorlax, where's the Vaporeon and all this kind of thing, right? And we spend so little time thinking about how we can honor God, how we can glorify God. So this is God challenging us. Guys, you are the senior Christians, the experienced Christians. And God wants to stir up your spirit today so that we will honor Him not just with what we have, or happen to have, but with our very best, okay? So, not only that, when you excel, not only do you honor God, you bring honor to God. You know, I don't know how many of you are basketball fans. Any basketball fans? You look more like the golf crowd, lah, I guess. You know, but in basketball, there are some famous characters like Jeremy Lin. You know, have you heard of Jeremy Lin? Linsanity, right? I mean, this guy was a Christian. You know, if he didn't rise up to the top, he didn't excel, nobody would care. Nobody would know who's Jeremy Lin, right? But because, just because he rose up to the top, when he speaks for God, he gives a testimony for God, it's heard so much more clearer by everyone. You understand? You know, when I was training my youth leaders last time, I would make all the youth leaders sit in front. Okay, they all have to sit in the front row. And for some reason, nobody wants to sit in the front row. I suspect it is an artifact from the Methodists, you know. Because in the Methodists, the front row used to be called the penitent seats, where people want to repent, sit in front. The people who sit in the behind probably are all the saints who don't need to repent, right? Because the altar is so far away, right? But so I make all my leaders sit in front, and I say, you know, when we sing songs, okay, the moment we sing, I want all of you to raise your hands up high. So some of them will raise like this, like kai hua, you know, like flower like this. I said, what are you doing? I'm raising my hand. I said, raise hand like this. I said, why? Why, pastor? Why must you raise hand? I said, you're not raising hand for yourself. Okay? Because all the young people at the back are watching you. And when you glorify God like this, you're going to affect them. You see? Your excellence in this is going to cause them to want. And some of you say, are you sure it works? Listen, since Joseph Schooling won the gold medal, suddenly everybody wants to swim. Have you thought about it? Why nobody wants to swim before suddenly, you know, every swimming school, suddenly their registration full, right? Because your excellence will bring other people to want to do the same. You follow, guys? That's why when you come to church, you're not just, oh, I don't feel like singing today. Don't sing for yourself. You don't feel like singing for yourself today. Sing so that you encourage the people around you to excel for God. Amen? And this is the kind of church we want to be. You know, come to church, everyone look at each other. Oh, you don't sing, I also don't sing. Never mind lah. You need to sing, got amplifier, ma, right? So all of us, guys, to make this church on fire requires you to put your heart into it. Amen? The second reason why we need to glorify God. Okay, the first one is because God deserves our best. The second reason is because God wants to elevate you into your destiny. You see, you are destined for greater things, right? That's why you need to rise up to greater things. You know, when God made the covenant with Abraham, He made it very clear right from the very start, right, that He was going to elevate Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 verse 2, He says to them, and I will make you a great nation. That's the promise. God never said, you know what, Abraham, I'm going to make you an ordinary nation. I'm going to make you mediocre like everyone else. I'm going to make you, you know, pretty much same as all the nations around you. That is not God's plan. God's plan is He will make you, them a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. You see, God's plan is that His people will exceed everything else and get the attention of the rest of the world. That is the plan. You realize this? The reason why God chose a small nation and to raise them, because this is the ultimate underdog story. God will cause this nation to rise up so that everyone will say, wow, how did they exceed? How did they get so good? You know, I want whatever the it is that God. That is God's plan, right? So God's plan for His people, covenant, is for you to exceed, for you to rise up. You know, when God found them, they were a bunch of slaves. But God never said, okay, like you're a bunch of slaves, you remain. No, God's plan was so that they will begin to excel. They'll begin to rise up. They'll begin to, but of course they didn't do that, right? Somehow they lost the plot, they lost their way, and they decided to do their own thing. But God's plan ultimately is that you would exceed. God's plan is that they will become the head and not the tail. So friends, you know, God has a better plan for you. Wherever you are today, okay, in whatever situation you are today, maybe you say, but you know, I almost retired. Guess what? God has a better retirement plan for you. Amen? Right? Maybe some of you are thinking that, yeah, I don't know, man, I'm so committed. You know, whatever it is, God has a better plan for you. You know, actually, even our PM knows this, right? He says what? We've got to have divine discontent. Even the PM knows this, right? So I think we as a church, should, being closer to the divine, should understand this discontent a little bit better, right? The place, the church should be a place where we challenge each other. We stir each other up, where we encourage each other to be better. When you come to church, you don't want to see people, you know, imagine you're studying, studying very hard for some, diploma or whatever, and come to church, people say, don't study so much, no use one. Okay, that is not church. That kind of thing, you go see a taxi, sometimes you hear this kind of thing. Yeah, don't need one, useless one, and this country, everything useless one. Okay, that is not church. Church is where people say, come on, go for it. Because we want to excel, you want to be the best in whatever profession, whatever place God has put you in, so that you can glorify God, because God has greater destiny for you. Amen? Do you believe this? Okay, this is something you have to believe. You have to believe yourself, okay? So when you see someone in church, please don't just pass them by. Ask yourself, how can you encourage your brothers and sisters? You want to see them succeed. Because in their success, they have an opportunity to glorify God. Amen? So every one of you, you know, whether you're in some business venture, whatever situation is, we are here, we are each other's cheering squad. Alright, you are the cheerleaders for one another. I think sometimes in church, we fail to do this. We come to church, we only think about ourselves. We fail to think, how can I cheer someone else to victory? How can I encourage someone else to victory? Most of the time we come, we think about our own struggles, our own battles. But today I want to challenge you to be a church that elevates one another. Amen? Amen? Yeah, you guys are. That's why the Bible says, blow the flute, you also don't dance. Okay? The preacher in Ecclesiastes reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, and this is probably a bit more relevant to you. He says that, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. For there's no activity, planning, knowledge or wisdom ensure where you're going. In other words, you only have one life. You want to glorify God with your life, you only got one life to do it. In the next life, you don't need already. It's going to be something else. Alright? So if you want to glorify God, do it with this life that you have. Whatever, however little, however much you think you might have left of it. Alright? Excellence is not about being number one. You know, some people are worried, especially in Singapore, because, but Pastor, this sounds so competitive, you know. Listen, excellence is not about being number one. It's not comparing how you perform with how someone else performed. Excellence is about comparing how you perform with how you previously performed. It's about you getting better than yourself previously. Do you follow? It's about you being better than you. In the Bible has a word for this. It's called sanctification, right? But this, you can get all religious about it. It really means that you are supposed to exceed what you were before. Putting one foot in front of the next one. The opposite of exceeding is backsliding. Okay? So instead of going backwards, you go forward one step at a time. So some people worry, you know, all these things is kiasu. No, it's not about kiasu, alright? This is about being the best. It's about not shortchanging God. And not shortchanging yourself. Now I've got a clip here I want you to watch, because this demonstrates something that I find very hard to say in words. Okay, so can we just play the 5-minute video?
So coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he
does. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by our strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You will be your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best.
I've got to do 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
You know, I wonder if this is how you're living your Christian life. Because I think this is how we should be living our Christian life. Giving our very best. Because most of the time, we live it somewhat mediocrely, isn't it? This life you have, that has been redeemed and purchased with the blood of God's only Son. Sometimes, we shortchange God. And we shortchange ourselves. So don't shortchange God. Don't shortchange yourself. Give your very best. Excel. So church, here's what I'm doing. I'm here to ask you to give your very best. To give more than what you have been giving. Because too often, you know, we, being older Christians, we've seen it all, you know. You've seen it all. And somehow we've lost the childlike faith in our own heart, right? We get a little bit jaded around the corners. We kind of like lost all our enthusiasm. Yeah, this one I've seen before. They get excited after a while. You know, we almost play everything down with our cynicism. But that requires something out of you. To give your absolute and very best without holding back. I think that's what God wants to see out of this church. Just what this whole Fire Up series is about. It's about us giving our very best. You have to start setting your aims higher. Set your sights higher. And this is what the attitude of excellence right here looks like. Okay? I put this video here because it's so much easier for you to watch this than for me to explain this. I hope you caught it. Paul says that we should you know, we all run a race, and in race, you know, all run, but only one will win, right? But run in such a way that you should win. Never run in such a way so that you can just pass. Run in such a way so that you can just get in. Run in such a way that, well, when everyone passes, you are just one of the crowd. But run in such a way that you should win. To do this, there's three things we need to do. First of all, we need to change our aim. You know, the Bible tells us that from the moment that Daniel was deported to Babylon, you see, a lot of people think that Daniel got lucky, lah. Somehow or other, you know, God bless him, God favor him, and somehow he went. But right at the beginning of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, we are told that he made a very important decision. He set his aim up. He says, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, right, that he would not defile himself. And then the rest of the verse. Daniel began by setting his aims high. He didn't say, you know what, I'll go there and I'll see what it's like. You see, a lot of people go there and say, well, I'll worship God depending on what the situation is like. I'm going to serve God depending on what everyone else is doing. But for Daniel, he didn't. Before he went, before things got started, he made up his mind that he was going to live an excellent life. You know, that was this excellent spirit. He made up his mind, set his aim higher. Excellence begins when you decide that you want to be better. When you decide that mediocrity is not an acceptable way of living your life, it's not an acceptable way of worshiping God. When just being okay is not good enough. It begins with your aim. If you aim low, you're going to hit low, okay? In your mind and in your own heart, you must begin to aim high. You know, Satan is out there in this world. He's beating us down with the things of life, with the problems, with the challenges that you face, with the obstacles, with the hurdles in your way. He's beating you down and he hopes that you stay down. And you know what most Christians do? They throw me in the towel and say, okay, I can't take it anymore. You know what? I'll just do what everyone else does, okay? And Satan wants you to stay down. My question is, are you going to stay down? Are you going to stay down? Seriously? Come on. We are made of better stuff than this, aren't we? Yes? Are you at the back there? Are you guys made of better stuff than this? Because God deserves our best. So you got to set your aim higher. You know, I love the story in Genesis chapter 15 when, you know, oh, by the way. So when Satan beats you down, what you need to say is what? You need to say, I can do all things. Right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Because what he wants you to say is, what for try? It won't make any difference. And that's what subconsciously Satan has programmed us to think. Why try so hard? No point, right? Why do you come so early? No point, no car park one. Listen, you come early, not because there's a car park, right? Or for that matter, by the way, just so that you don't misunderstand, I'm just talking about church. When you meet anybody, you know how sometimes you meet your friends, right? You know, in Singapore, we all rubber time sometimes. People say meet at 7 o'clock. You know, they come 7:05, 7. You know, I'm one of those people very particular. I always meet them at least 5 minutes early, at least, if not 10 minutes early, right? So, sometimes we say, you know, what's the point of coming early, right? Because you know the guy's going to be late, and you know what? You're right, you know? He actually will be late. But let me tell you, excellence is coming earlier because you are excellent. It's not coming early because other people were early. You understand? But you say, but this is not efficient. It is not necessarily efficient, but it is an excellent spirit. You understand what I'm saying? It is not about your circumstances. Don't look at why some other people, don't make up reasons, excuses. Excellence begins in your own heart. Now I was saying that, you know, I love it when in the Bible, in Genesis 15, you see, Lot and Abraham had just parted ways. And Lot had, he had the first pick, so he picked the best bits of the land, leaving Abraham with the rest of the land, which is not so good bits, right? On top of that, Abraham was kind of fond of Lot because he has no son, you see. So now he's a bit lonely. So, God had come to Abraham in this rather dejected state, right? And I can just picture Abraham probably walking around in his tent, looking at his feet and thinking. And God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 verse 5. And this is what happens. It says here, and then he brought him outside and said, God brought Abraham outside of the tent. Said, look up, look towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. You know, every time I read this, I thank God it's not Singapore. Because with the haze and everything, you look up and count the stars, it's even more depressing. God, I don't see anything. I'm going to be descendantless, right? But it was in the Middle East. Thankfully, the skies were clear. It was just stars from, you know, horizon to horizon. At this point in his life, right, God says, don't look at you. You know, the stars are not on your feet. You got to set your aim higher. Look higher and count the stars. This shall be your descendants. Can you believe this? You know, the next verse 16 starts with this. Abraham says, and the Bible says, and he believed. Do you believe that God wants you in a higher place? Do you believe that? When you look up and you count the stars, do you believe that God has a better thing for you? In spite of what Satan might tell you that, you know, you're just going to be ordinary. You know, what's this all thing? Everybody's, you are just normal like everyone else. So therefore, don't aim so high. Don't try to be hero. Don't try to be so action, as they used to say, right? Don't try to be too gung-ho about this. Be like everyone else. The Bible says that you are destined for better things. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are destined for better things. Say it like you believe it, alright? Okay, so the first thing is that you must reject mediocrity. And you must aim higher. Aim for God's best in your life. Second thing you need to change is you've got to change your attitude, okay? Sometimes we need to change our... You know, I meet so many Christians who are sitting around, when they think of excellence, they're waiting for something supernatural, something extraordinary to happen to them. It's like when they're praying and waiting, suddenly there's a portal open up in front of them and bright light shines through and God says, come, now it's your turn. They're waiting for something. You know, the reason we watch movies is that in life, these kind of things don't really happen. Right? Rarely happens. That's why you go to movies so you can watch these things happen in movies. But in life, Christians don't sit around. You see, Christians, excellent people, don't wait for extraordinary things to happen to them. They take ordinary things and they do something extraordinary with it. You understand? Right? That is the attitude. If you're sitting around waiting for God to do something, waiting for your circumstances to change, it's not going to happen. Excellent people, you change first. You know, this morning during worship, you know, sometimes during worship, we all wait for presence of God. See whether, you know, the hair on your neck stand or not. Oh, I think it's standing. Okay, now I'm worshiping God. You know, don't do that. You worship God first. You put your heart into it. Maybe because of your worship, somebody's hair will stand, okay? Right? You be the change. Rather than wait for. So that's an attitude that you need to have, right? You want to be excellent, you got to stop waiting. You got to start taking responsibility and being the one to start with the change. Amen? Amen? Okay, good. I hope you're not like that, you know, the flute and the dirge people, right? So you need to, the Proverbs chapter 13 verse 4 says that, you know, the soul of a lazy man desires nothing and has nothing. You desire nothing and you have nothing, right? There's sometimes a little bit like our life. We are weak in our desire. And therefore, we have nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. You know, we've got to remember this. One day, all of us, every single one of us, we're going to stand before God. And God's going to ask us, you know, what have you done with that one talent I gave you? And some will say, you know, that one talent, don't know where are you. Wait for a while, God. Let me find and see. Too late. Maybe some a little bit better say, well, you know, God, you gave me this, I gave you this. You know that's not a good answer, right? Actually, the correct answer is, God, I have exceeded. You gave me this, I have exceeded. By however much, but I have exceeded. You follow? That's the point of the whole thing. The whole thing is to excel. It's not to be mediocre like everyone else. Okay? To give a bit more than you started out with. The third thing you need to do is you need to change your threshold. You know, I'll be honest with you. Excellence will cost us. It costs us money. You know, in this church, we are trying to change a lot of things, okay? Slowly, you may not see it, but we are starting, we're going to change all our signage. Because, you know, sometimes our signage are all kinds of different pattern. Sometimes cannot find the toilet for new people, right? So we want to change all these things will cost us money, right? Your money, okay, but you have to give, right? But it costs us in other ways in our life. It costs you. Getting there is going to cost you something, okay? This is what it will cost you, I'll tell you. Getting better, okay? You have to give up your present in order to get to where God wants you to be. You have to give up who you currently are so that you can become the person that God eventually wants you to eventually become. Do you follow this? You can't be at two places at the same time. You can't be the way you are right now and the way God wants you to be. You cannot. You have to change. Alright? So you have to give up your present. And this is the thing that I think so many people struggle with, you see. Most Christians, they want to have two, you see. They want to have the Olympic gold medal, but they don't want to pay the $1 million or so that the parents have to pay and wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to swim laps in order to get there, right? But we kind of want both of it. You know, in physics, you put one foot in one boat, one foot in another boat, the two boats will separate, and pretty soon you'll be in neither boats, right? You'll be in the water, correct? So a lot of Christians, they are like this, you know. We kind of want to see revival. We sort of want to see a strong, powerful, exciting church. Don't you want that? Do you want that? See, this response might explain why we are not there. I kind of assume that we all wanted it, right? Don't you want to be an exciting church? Amen. Where God is moving. Yeah, that's more like it, man. For a moment, I thought in the wrong church. Why? Okay, guys, you are the senior Christians of this church. Huh? The younger people are looking at your responses. You understand this or not? Right? You realize this? Your weak response, I was going to tell them, look at older one, they also don't care. Why should I care? So make sure you remember the way you respond, alright? But there's no painless way of getting there. Okay? So the third thing is you've got to change the threshold of your pain. The threshold, what you are prepared to take. Okay? Some of us Christians, we are so soft, you know. Satan throw one little dart, oh, blood, come out, I go home, but I don't play already. You know, some of us are so weak. Ayah, no wonder our church is so hampered. A strong church is made up of strong, excellent people. Disciples who say, you know what, this small thing, you know, just, they say, water off a duck's back, okay? It's not going to stop me at all. This is small fry, okay? We are made of better stuff for better things. Amen? So, three things you need to do, right? Oh, Jesus, by the way, he said himself, if anyone following him, he must deny himself. That's changing your threshold, alright? So, you got to give your very best. You know, actually, there's this slide that I kind of missed earlier on, I think. You know, it says, stop accepting the less than your very best. Insist on your best from yourself. Insist on your best from yourself, right? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 6:7, it says, serve wholeheartedly. Don't give half-heartedly, right? Serve the Lord wholeheartedly with everything that you've got. Just like in a movie. Give your very best. Your very best. As if you're serving the Lord and not people in every area of your life. What areas are these? Okay, some of these things that you can change your aim, change your attitude, change your threshold. What areas can this be in? Well, I mentioned punctuality, right? For example, listen, it's not impossible to be early. I think if something is important enough, you'll find a way to be early. Imagine if your daughter's wedding. Are you going to be late? I tell you, no matter what the car park problem is, you'll be early. Do you agree? You'll find a way to be early because why? It's important to you. And therefore you excel in it. Is God important to you? See, we say He is. Sometimes our actions say not so important, okay? So, is church important to you? Well, you know, God is important, church not so important. So we need to change our thinking, alright? There are many, many small areas in your life. I mentioned the way we worship. You know, when you come to church, sometimes we think we're just singing. But there are other people in church who are watching you. They are looking at how you worship to get an idea of how important God is to you. Do you realize this? When non-Christians come to church, they're looking at how you worship. And you're like, you know, worship halfway and, you know, look here, look there, you know. Then they know that Christians also don't take it very seriously. So, how you worship, you got to give your breath. It's in the small details sometimes, right? The small things that you do. When you go to your office, are you just a worker? You want to be the best worker in your office. You know, Steve Martin, the comedian, he says, you want to be so good that people cannot ignore you. Right? You want to be so good. You want to be the best possible worker, the best mother, the best father, the best grandfather, the best, you know, some of you are basically childcare for your grandchildren, right? Then you be the best childcare, grandfather, grandparent for your children, right? Whatever it is, small things and big things, you choose to excel in it. Do you follow? Alright? So if you want to exceed, as of this very second, as of this very moment, you must decide to stop doing things in a less than excellent way. So you got to decide to stop giving less than your very best. You just got to start saying, you know what? I'm going to demand, I'm going to insist of myself the very best because, first of all, God deserves the very best, right? Whatever you do, you know, Colossians chapter 3:23, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, right? So, whatever it is, do wholeheartedly, do it as you are serving God, give your very best. Secondly, because you know what? You owe it to yourself. God desires that you would be elevated to a place where you can glorify Him. You know, you're not going to glorify God very much by being mediocre. You glorify God by distinguishing yourself above the rest, just like Daniel of the Bible. Amen? Every sphere in your life, okay? There's no area that's too small. If you say, I'm a housewife, only wash plate, then make your plate the cleanest plate. I'm serious, okay? So, you do your very best. You know, I tell you, I spend a lot of time doing this these slides for you guys. You know I don't like to do slides, right? You all know this, correct? I told you many times, right? But this year, you know, I specially prepare. You know, my sermons are prepared almost a year in advance. Just so that I can get these slides for you to give you the very best. You understand? And I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this because I feel God deserves the very best. Okay? So in this last slide, okay, excellence is giving up what you are in order to be what you can be. You give up what you are in order to be what you can be. As a church, we are here. We are very comfortable. But we give up this comfort in order to be what God wants us to be. To be on a higher ground. Amen? You know, you think about this. Joseph, when he was a slave, right? He became the best slave. And as a result of that, he was put in charge of the whole household of Potiphar. Remember that? And then when he became a jailbird, he became the best jailbird. As a result, he was put in charge of the whole jail. Right? Now that's pretty lowly positions. But even in lower positions, you can rise up to be the best that you can be. In your workplace, some of you, right? You can be the best that you can be. You see, it all starts with an attitude in you, not the circumstances. Excellence is rising above your circumstances to be the best that you can be. Okay? For God. And because he was faithful in these little things, God gave him much bigger things. So today, my question to you, church, is really this. Are you giving your very best? Are you willing to give your very best? Not just for yourself, but so that you can elevate the people around you. Because when you give the very best, other people around you are blessed. That's the promise. By the way, that's the promise in the covenant, right? I'll make you a great nation so that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I'll make your name great so that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So, when you excel, people around you are blessed. Generations after you are blessed. So, are you willing to give more than what you're given? This is the challenge. Alright? Are you willing to give more? Would you close your eyes with me right now? I don't know where's the music team, but they should have been here up 5 minutes ago, but never mind. Okay. I'm just saying, okay. But you close your eyes, right? This is your moment now with God. You think about that movie for a second, okay? Just you and God, okay? Not anyone else now. Just you and God. Excellence is not about other people. It's not about comparing whether you did something that other people didn't do or you didn't do something that other people did. It's about you. Your attitude, regardless. Okay, no matter what circumstances you're in, whether your circumstances are currently very difficult, whether your circumstances are, you know, very challenging, whether your circumstances are fantastic, okay, regardless of your circumstances, the question now is this, what is your attitude going to be? Are you going to give your very best? Your very best. Your very, very, very best. Are you willing to be an excellent disciple for Jesus Christ? Okay, are you willing to think not just about yourself? Okay, because so many times we just think about ourselves. Are you willing to think that in your excellence you will glorify God and you elevate those people around you? Okay, with eyes closed and heads bowed. You say, yes, Pastor, I want to be very best. Because you know, I recognize that this church counts on me. If that's you, no one looking around, just put up your hands, okay? You're not putting out your hands for me, okay? You don't put your hands, then you put your hands all the way up, okay? So that you're committed, okay? If that's you, just put up your hands all the way. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be the guy who, you know, they play the flute, you also don't dance. They sing the dirge, you also don't mourn. Your very best. Father, you see all these hands gone. These hands are the measure of the strength of this church. The people in this church are not just folding their hands and waiting and seeing to see how we fare, but people who say, I'm in. I am giving my very best because you deserve the very best and because you have a better destiny for me. So Father, we want to pray, Lord, that you stir up our hearts, Lord, as we've sung today. You stir up our hearts to give more than we have given. Lord, we pray that Satan, with all the cynicism that he sows in our hearts, will be defeated. That we will walk in victory. We'll rise above all that cynicism. We'll rise above the bad circumstances. We'll rise above our own bad experiences. We'll rise above our disappointments. We'll rise above our defeats. We want to walk in excellence because that is God's destiny for each and every one of us, God. Father, I pray right now, this very moment, God, that your Holy Spirit will sweep in our hearts, Lord. And you will wash away by your power, by your blood, Lord, all the cynicism that has accumulated in our Christian hearts over all the years, Lord. All the negative things that we've collected, all the suspicion, the doubts that have come into place that puts us up as a front to God and says, God, you know, we can't do anything. It makes no difference. God, we want to believe today. It makes a difference. Help us, God, today, this very moment, to lift up our eyes and count the stars and believe that this is God's promise to us, God. So, Father, we will commit ourselves to you. We ask, God, that you touch our hearts and you begin a change that ripples out from this place, from this very moment. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand up and sing this closing song?
Watching heaven, changing earth. Lord, we thank you that you reach out to touch us.
Excited, right? I really am excited because, you know, I'm counting on every one of you to help make this happen. Amen? Your little things, never too little, alright? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity that, you know, while we can, we're going to do it with all our might, God. So, Father, we pray, Lord, this spirit of excellence will come and rest upon each and every one of our hearts, Lord. In every big and small things that we do, we become conscious. Lord, we know that this is something that requires training, Lord. We are training our spirit to be excellent. It doesn't come overnight, but we're going to start doing it bit by bit. So, Father, as we go from this place, Lord, we pray that this spirit of excellence will continue to grow in each and every one of our hearts, God. We continue to defeat the cynicism of the world. We continue to defeat the lies of Satan that tell us that it won't make any difference. Father, we want to pray that your word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, will prevail in our lives. As we go from this place, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go and be with all of us now and always. Amen. Amen. Service is over. I'll see you back next week, alright? God bless you.